All right. Good morning, everybody. If you take your Bibles and turn in the Old Testament, we're going to be in Psalm 78, or you could take a look at your sermon notes and follow along. We are in the midst of a series here at Lake Point called Relationship Cues. And so we've talked about being single. We talked about being married and some foundational things. And today, probably just as equally difficult topic, we're going to be talking about parenting. So today's message is called Parenting with Purpose. And you may be here, maybe you are a parent as we speak. And so this one will hit you, you know, where you're at today. But I think also, I'm believing that God's going to speak to our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, and spiritual mentors that we have in the room, because what happens in the family, what happens with parenting, really does affect all of us. So I'm hoping you're able to lean in this morning, and something will help you on that journey. And that journey is a hard one. Our culture has lost its way when it comes to parenting. And our families are paying the price. We see this all over the place. Recently, my wife and I, we've been doing these monthly trips to Costco, and always exciting there, right? So we were checking out, this is just a few weeks ago, and just behind us in line, we were on the checkout portion. There's this very young kid who had, that should have been in his cart with his feet, you know, going through and minding himself. But no, he was standing up, arms flailing, screaming. Everyone's watching him. And there was the mom just on her phone. Just didn't even know a thing was going on. And so we see parenting problems in public all over the place, and I'm sure we could get a lot of testimonies from folks in the room on things they've seen over the years. But the sad thing is we also see that play out in Christian homes. Sometimes even Christian homes are examples of ungodly behavior. When our kids misbehave, when our kids argue back with parents, very often the parents will respond in an ungodly way themselves, basically making the situation even more difficult. We don't want that to happen. I'm trying to think of about 10 years ago when my boys were just growing up. They were like elementary age, and they had this really bad habit that when they came in from the outside, they would just throw their jackets when they came in. And you never knew where they would fall, but they were just everywhere. Four boys, I mean, it was a mess. And at first I was getting angry about that. And then I said, well, you know what? Maybe they need their own dedicated place. So we remodeled our mudroom, put some cubbies in. Each kid had their very own hook. I mean, this should have fixed the problem, right? Well, it didn't. It didn't at all. And there's one day in particular I remember very well, because I opened the door going into the garage, and there it was, this massive pile. Wet jackets, wet boots, scarves, and it was just everywhere, including all over the cement stairs. And I was livid. But I was even more livid when I stepped down the step and slid on one of those jackets, landed so hard, my body went this way, my big toe went that way. It actually broke. It was actually broke. That was the most excruciating pain I've experienced in some time. But it was a combination of pain and anger. So I crawled into the mudroom, started banging on the floor, and this terrible voice that my boys repeat to me even years later, I said, I'm fed up! I still got it in me, yeah. But, and it was that moment, you know, I was not proud of that moment because I didn't respond in the right way. But ever since that time, my boys, they call it the fed up finger, and they mock it. And I think we have a picture you could show. That summer following that event, we were at the Outer Banks. my boys and a few of our friends, they did this picture with the finger. And you could please take that down now. But parenting is hard. And when we attempt to do it without God's guidance and his wisdom, our families suffer. But the good news is God's word can point us in the absolute correct direction and provide us purpose for our parenting. And that's what we're going to do this morning. So let's pray. Lord, just pray you would come speak to us as a congregation this morning. Lord, whatever our failures have been, wherever we're just having difficulties, Lord, I just pray your word would speak into us, that your word would help us reorient our path, that we might have families and do parenting in a way that would honor you, that our children one day, Lord, it is our wish that they would trust in you as their Savior. So Lord, be with us as we continue. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you would like to take a look at verses 1-4, and our first point from our message is we need to tell our children about Jesus. Tell your children about Jesus. So let's take a look at verses 1-4. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. So as we read this, you might, if you have your Bible, you might see this section saying this is a psalm from Asaph. Maybe you're not familiar with him because most of the book of Psalms is written by David, right? But Asaph was a contemporary. He lived the same time as David, and he was known of as a seer, and he was known of as a musician. And he wrote this particular psalm to help the people really understand that this next generation of theirs is so important, that we must reach that next generation for God. Such an important thing. If you have your notes in front of you, I'd like to take a look at verse 4. And in verse 4, there's the word tell. And that's what I'm talking about now. We need to tell the next generation. Now, if you've been maybe in your past when you were growing up, you went through a confirmation, a catechism, or some sort of Awana program where you learn the doctrine of God. You know, when I was young, we learned Luther's catechism, things like that. We memorized verses, and that is really amazing stuff for our children to learn. But I would submit to you that that is incomplete. It's incomplete because there is so much more than telling our kids about God than just dry, emotionless information. There's so much more than that. That will not inspire our children to follow the true and the living God. That's why we see here in verse 4, the word tell is defined for us. It says we need to tell the next generation about the praiseworthy deeds of our Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. In Israel's life at that time, he took them out of slavery. He led them, you know, to the promised land, and he did miracles along the way. And so they had a lot to remember of God's faithfulness. We need to do the same thing and share that with our children. As kind of an example of that, imagine you and your spouse or your friend were looking for a restaurant to eat, and it's kind of last minute, and so you go on Open Table and you see, but only two restaurants pop up, and you've never heard of these restaurants before. So what do we do? Well, we want to read the reviews, see what the feedback is. So we go on Yelp and we see restaurant number one, and so this is what the first review that pops up says to you. it says, you know, this place has been here a long time and caters to the older clientele, and the food is okay. Okay, if that was the review you read, would you want to go there? No, I wouldn't, right? But so you're like, okay, well, let's check restaurant number two. So you pull up Yelp, pull up restaurant number two, and it says, you've got to try this place. It is, the food is amazing. The steak comes out and it is so hot and it's sizzling. They use this special seasoning I've never had before. And on top of that, it melts in your mouth. The service, oh, the service was great. And you gotta try this place. You read that review and you're like, sign me up, right? I wanna go. And I know afterwards in the first service, there was a few people saying how hungry they were, but I'm really sorry at the 11 o'clock service. But yeah, the second, it's just explained so much better, and there's that passion that you know, how great that place is. And I'm afraid a lot of times when we share our faith with our children, we do it kind of like that first restaurant. Church has been here a long time. A bunch of old people go there, and it's right? That's sometimes how we explain Christianity to our children. But I believe that sometimes we need to sell it more along the lines of Christianity is Morton's Steakhouse experience. It is phenomenal, and that's really what it's all about. The song we sang, "The Goodness of God." I mean, that song. That's the way we have to tell our kids. Our Lord has been so faithful. He has been so good to us. That is the message, that personal message that our kids need to hear. And our kids need to know it's not just information, it's personal. He is a personal God to us. And most of all, our children need to hear the simple truth that Jesus loves you. Our kids need to hear that, and that makes all the difference. So God has been faithful in your life. So as you interact with your kids, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, share God's faithfulness to them. It'll make all the difference in the world. Buy them their first Bible. How special that is. Drive them to Vacation Bible School. There's so many ways that you can tell them about God, but do it with passion. That's what we want to do. But it's more than just telling. That is just the absolute start, because what we also need to do is we need to teach your children to walk in God's ways. Teach your children to walk in God's ways. Let's take a look at our text in verses 5 and 6, if you would. Verse 5 begins, "He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, that they in turn would tell their children." So as we see that, really, that the first thing that stands out to you is this text was not for 2,000 years ago. It is for us today. That's what we need to do, generation to generation. And if you want to take your text, go ahead and circle the word teach, because teach is the key word for this point. And I know that if I talk to the Christian families in here, most of you would say, I do want to raise my kids for God. I do want my kids to trust Jesus and live a godly life. That's my goal. But I think a lot of times we use unbiblical methods to try to get there, or we just simply don't know what to do next. And our world has books, podcasts, all kinds of things that are going to point our kids and our parents to these ungodly methods. There's a lot of them out there. Just a few that I can think of right now is authoritative parenting. That's all based on rules, extreme strictness, and making sure your kid behaves in public, because your kid has to behave in public, and that's all that matters, right? And many of us have grew up in environments like that. And what do those kids turn out like? They become people pleasers, and very, very often they become very manipulative. They use that to their advantage. So definitely not a good thing. And in the very worst extreme cases of authoritarian parenting, the kids actually rebel 180 degrees and give up with the family and God altogether. We have to avoid authoritative parenting. One other one is the complete opposite. This is hands-off parenting. This is where we supply food and housing for our kids, and they just come in and leave and do whatever they want. We are just there to provide the essentials for them and let them fend for themselves. We see a lot of that in our culture today. The problem with that is our culture, our media, our social media, our news, everywhere you turn, we have ungodly input into these lives, and these young kids, they're going to be living a lifestyle that no longer resembles anything that God would have for them, and filling that void that we leave in their life. And sometimes people say, well, I want to wait till my kid turns 18 and they can decide if they want to go to church. Well, you're too late then. You have to fill in the blanks with good truth of God. And the last one, and this one might be a little, rub you the wrong way, but we also need to avoid having our kids or overemphasizing worldly success. We have a lot of well-educated people here in this room that are doing amazing things with their career. But sometimes parenting, we can overemphasize the education. We can overemphasize the extracurricular activities, and that has come to our end goal rather than living lives to follow Christ. So we need to be very, very careful with that, because we have a lot of kids who have their degree, but they also have over 100,000 in student debt, and they don't have a clue about life. And we got to be careful about overemphasizing worldly success, because God says, you come to me first and I will supply all your needs after that. So there's probably plenty more. Those were just a few that came to mind. So let's now talk about what are some of the ways we can, in a positive way, teach our children to walk in God's ways. And this section of the message in your notes, it's entitled Lessons Learned in the Trenches. So trenches, you know, kind of makes you think of that wartime scenario. And I think parenting can be sometimes like a war. You guys with me? Yeah, it can be hard, right? It can be difficult. And so my wife, Julie, and I, we've raised four boys. And just in the last 12 months, they're all out of the house. They're all out of the house, married, and the grandkids are coming, which is pretty awesome. I'm speaking here from a humble standpoint of just lessons we've learned the hard way that I thought this would be a great opportunity to share, and what God has taught us over this journey. The first one is we need to aim for the heart. Aim for the heart. This goes hand in hand with what we talked about authoritative parenting. In Proverbs 4:23, it says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. A lot of times as parents, we're not aiming for the heart, we're aiming for the outside external behavior. Again, to make our kids look good, to make them make the right choices, but with very little regard for what's going on in their heart, and we're aiming at the wrong thing. We need to aim at shepherding our children's heart. That's kind of the umbrella lesson we've learned that kind of is, it umbrellas the other two things I'm going to mention, but it's so important because we need to not just look at what they've done, but we need to live with our kids and see, what exactly are the heart struggles they're dealing with, so we can work with them through that and address those heart struggles and ultimately have them have a heart that beats for Christ. The next one is super, probably the most important, and that is rich communication. Rich communication. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says this, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. A lot of times with our kids, we have no way that we're going to teach them God's ways if we're not communicating with them in rich, deep conversations. And we sometimes those days go by, the weeks go by, the months go by, and then we find ourselves drifting further and further from our kids. But we need to really pay attention to the communication at the very earliest age, have that dialogue with them so that when they hit their teen years, that you are able to break through some of the barriers that age may bring to them. And the biggest idea I'd like to share is we need to communicate with our kids to see life through their eyes. See life through their eyes. And I know it's a messy, sometimes that can be a messy world when we try to see things the way they see it. But I believe that's how communication begins with our children. We call it dialogue versus monologue. Parents are very good at monologue, where you basically, an issue happens and the parents immediately coming to judgment on that whole situation without even talking to their kid and without listening, not having active listening. And so kids refuse to open up to you because you are not part of the conversation. You are not showing them you're on their side. And that's just an incredible thing that we've learned. And so we need to take advantages of those times when we talk with our kids. And a lot of times that means when your kid opens their mouth, you lay your phone down. And that's a big lesson a lot of us need to learn about our phones, right? But when they talk, those are special moments, and you just need to focus, hear what they have to say. When my kids were growing up, especially in the later teen years, one of the biggest things I've noticed is that they prefer to talk with you around midnight or 12:30. Right? It's like you're just about ready to go to bed, or you're pretty much on your way there, and they come in, grab a snack, plop on the sofa, and then they start opening up. And I mean, you're so tired. And you're like, you know, I don't really want to talk, but those have been, in my experience, the most wonderful conversations with my boys, and they just open up. And you just got to be there for them when they do that, and you can see really the depths of their soul when those opportunities come. Take advantage of them, and try to see life through their eyes. And Jesus gives us the good example of that. He came from heaven into our world, part of our mess. And that doesn't mean Jesus didn't excuse our sin, by no means. He didn't excuse our sin, but he sympathized with us in our weakness. And we need to do the same thing for our children. The next thing, lesson we've learned from the trench is, this one's called Parent Like a Shepherd. Parent Like a Shepherd. If you take a look, maybe you want to read the whole Psalm 78. It's a pretty long psalm, but the last few verses refer to David and the way that he tended sheep. They make a parallel with how he led the people of Israel. He made the comparison for shepherding sheep and shepherding people. But I believe that also applies to us as parents. A lot of those ideas of shepherding do apply. And the first one is, like a shepherd spends time with the flock, with the sheep, we need to spend time with our kids. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which was originally going to be my primary text, but now I'm just kind of putting it in here. This is known as the Shema, this is one of the key verses of the Old Testament about raising children. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And this is the part I want you to get. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, and write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates." This message of shepherding your children was so important. They had that verse with them constantly. They often would put it in a box and wear it on their forehead, and they would post it all over their homes. Just so critical. But what I want you guys to understand is that what this means is we teach our kids as we do life with them. We teach them as we do life with them. So that might mean that when your kids wake up in the morning eating breakfast at the table, that's an opportunity to teach about God. When you drive them in a car to school, that's an opportunity to speak about Jesus and how good he has been to you. The evening routine, that's your opportunity to read them a Bible story before they go to bed. Our life has so many ways that we can use as kind of teaching moments for our children, such as when the sun rises, sun sets, you can talk about the power of God. And when your kids mess up during the middle of the day, that is a teaching lesson as well, that we can always point them to the biblical framework, which is you've sinned and God can make it right. That's what we gotta impress to our children. Such a wonderful thing there. So teaching our children is not an easy thing, and a lot of times we can get it wrong with the methods we use. But I think if we really focus on their hearts and keep that communication, I think you guys, if you take that away with you, that's gonna really let you see God work in your families. All right, so our third point that I wanna talk about, and in many cases this might be the most important, and that is that we need to trust God's grace for the parenting journey. Trust God's grace for the parenting journey. If you want to take a look at verses 7 and 8 with me. Beginning in verse 7 says, "Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments, that they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him." If you want to take your pen and in verse 7, circle the word trust. Circle the word trust. And parenting is so difficult. We need to really rely on God's grace on this journey we call parenting. And verse 7 really paints a picture of our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is that our kids would trust in the true and living God. That is, I believe, our ultimate goal as Christians for our children. And that is just, when that happens, that is a joyful, beautiful, remarkable thing. And it's not all about what we do as parents. It's about God's grace stepping into our homes and doing what we cannot do, change hearts. But man, it is amazing to see God's grace as he changes our children's hearts, that they would follow him for life, but know that it's simply a gift from God when that happens. And the truth of the matter is, that's really God's biggest goal for all of us here in the room, that each person that's here today would trust in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that you would know what it means to be saved. And I'm going to speak a little bit more about that later in the message, but there's really nothing more important than that. So we need to trust in God's grace in salvation, but we also need to trust in God's grace despite not seeing immediate results. Philippians 1:6 says it this way, and I think this is an encouraging verse for us. "To be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." This verse reminds me that the work God is doing is a process. The work God is doing is a process. And a lot of times when we look at the fruits of our children, it can be disappointing. We don't see the fruits that we hope that we would have seen at this point in their life. And it can be one of the most heartbreaking things a parent has to deal with. But this is my encouragement, if you're there, my encouragement to you today is where you're at is just a snapshot in time. Just a snapshot in time. It's not always going to be this way because God is still working. God will bring it to a beautiful completion one day in his very, very perfect way that only he can do. And it's not the way, and it's not the quickest way, and it's not the way we always want it, but it's his perfect way to get our kids to their final spiritual destination. If we look in the life in the Bible, in the parable of the prodigal son, I think we see a great example of that. The father in that parable, he never gave up. He never gave up. I'm sure he was really heartbroken at what his son was doing, how he squandered all of his father's inheritance that he had coming. And I'm sure he was very disappointed with the way things went. But he knew a secret that all of us need to learn, and that was just a snapshot in time. That wasn't the end of the story. And I could just imagine the father every evening looking out the window down the road, hoping and praying that his son would finally come back to him. And I'm sure evening after evening, he probably got discouraged, but you know what? In his heart, he kept looking. He kept having hope. And one day, his son came home. And what a day of rejoicing that was. Such a beautiful picture of following God. Because he knew what he was seeing was just a snapshot in time. Lastly, in trusting in God's grace, and this might be also one of the most important things I say, is we need God's grace to redeem our parenting failures. To redeem our parenting failures. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this: "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." There may be many people here when you think back, or even where you're at today, the choices you've made as a parent, the things you've done, maybe you have regret over that. Maybe you wish you would have done things a whole lot different, and you're just kind of figuring that out right now. What I want to show you and what that verse is promising is that God's grace is sufficient for you. Those failures you can bring to Jesus. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and I will give you rest." He can forgive us. Put that regret, put that sorrow, those mistakes, just lay them at the foot of the cross. And God's grace will cover it from there. Trust in his grace for the parenting journey. So as we summarize our message, a lot of us, we've struggled with the parenting tasks. But God has shown us that we go to his word, learn how to parent with purpose. And we do this when we passionately tell our children about God, and we teach them through rich communication, aiming at the heart, and treating the shepherding process or the parenting process like a shepherd would, and trust in God's grace for the journey. He is sufficient. He can get us through. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just come to you now as we consider this psalm, what it means for our parenting, the idea of telling and teaching and trusting. Lord, empower us as parents, as grandparents, as spiritual mentors to do this task the way you would have us do it. And Lord, if there's someone here today who they've never trusted in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray today would be that day. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Lord, I pray that maybe there's someone here today who needs to believe. They spent their whole life running from you, and for whatever reason, at this time, at this moment, Lord, you've impressed upon them, they need to trust in you. They need to know what it means to be born again. Lord, if there's someone like that, I pray they would talk to you and pray to you, admitting, first of all, that they've sinned, that they are a sinner in your eyes, that they would repent, that they would not only feel bad about what they've done with their conscience, Lord, but they would turn a true repentance, that they would repent and never go back to their old ways. And Lord, most of all, that they would believe in you, that you died on a cross for them. You were perfect. You were the perfect lamb. You lived the life that we couldn't live. And you died the death that would have been ours if we hadn't trusted in you. So Lord, if there's someone here today, I pray that they would pray to you, admitting, repenting, believing. And Lord, your Bible says that if we confess with our mouth, we can be saved, Lord. So I just pray if someone's done that today, that they would share that good news with someone. They'd come to one of our, at our prayer time at the end, share that with them. Write it on the connection card or somehow reach out to someone. We want to encourage that decision and their next step with God. Lord, thank you for being with us, Lord. We love you. We love seeing your spirit work in our hearts, and we look to see what you are going to do in our families, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.